Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I was looking at you all as we were singing with the choir, and it was just marvelous to see your faces in worship today. I am so grateful to you for being here, especially on this Lord's Day, because it is Easter Day, and the greeting, traditional greeting for Easter is for me to say Christ is risen and for you to say he is risen indeed. So I'd like to try that. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. I think they're getting excited for their cantata shortly. I especially want to welcome visitors who are worshiping with us for the first time or are new residents to the area. We are so grateful that for you to come choose us to worship with, and appreciate that very much. There are welcome cards in the pews that you can fill out for us and put in the offering plate. That way we know who you are and a little bit about you. If you'd like us to follow up with you, we very much like to get to know you better and are glad you're worshiping with us today. Well, let's see. Barbara Hoosie is going to make an announcement about eggs. She has a few. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate that. So I want us to greet one another. We normally in this congregation greet each other by saying, peace of Christ, also with you. But today, let's greet one another with the Easter greeting, Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed. Will you greet your neighbor? Christ is risen.
Pastor? If you'd all stand and turn in your hymnals to page 302, that's a good Ford number. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Children are all invited to come forward for our children's moment. Here we go. We got a few more coming up here. Now, I bet you're glad to know that I have new candy in the basket. Because the Easter Bunny helped me out a little bit. And so when I pass out candy, we'll have more to choose from. But I also brought you a pack of gum that I wanted to open and share with you this morning. How many of you like chewing gum? Yeah, you do? All right, well, let me see if I can open this package up, and we will share some chewing gum together. Here it is. All right. Would you like a piece? Open it up. You're allowed to open it up. Yours has nothing in it? How can that be? Here you go. Here's another. Here's the last piece. None of you has gum in there? Now, how can that be? This is a brand new pack. I just opened it up. No, I didn't already open it. You think the Easter Bunny ate it? What happened to this? You saw me open it up. It's a prank pack? Okay. We have a lot of different explanations as to why there's no gum in those packages. And that is how the disciples felt when they saw there was no body in that tomb. The tomb was empty. They were just as surprised and confused and wondering what was going on as you are to see that there's no gum in that candy wrapper. How can that be? A new package of gum has no gum in there. Today we celebrate Easter, and on Easter we celebrate the fact that Jesus arose from the dead. And the disciples found an empty tomb. They had just put him in there 3 days earlier, his body, his lifeless body, and they went back in the morning to help prepare him, Easter morning, and discovered that he was no longer in the tomb. And they saw him and spoke to him. Yes? He went to heaven. But he also came back to earth. He arose again. He came back to earth. And that's what we're saying today. It's a hard thing to believe. It's not something that's easy. It leaves you with questions. But guess what, my friends? It gives you a gift of new life. And we are so grateful for this wonderful gift that God gave to us through his Son. And remember how this cross was full of black fingerprints on it? All of a sudden, all those fingerprints are gone. No more dark fingerprints, thumbprints on there. It's a white cross with a gold sash. And that's what we celebrate, the miracle of the resurrection today. Okay, boys and girls, bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for these children and the gift of their lives. And we pray your blessing upon them as they grow in your grace and truth, and that they may know you as risen Lord in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get some candy. You're welcome. You're welcome. One piece of candy for everybody. Did you get your candy? You're welcome. Okay. The privilege this morning of welcoming into membership two of our congregation who have been a part of this church for, well, since before I got here. And I also want to ask if there are others who are thinking about joining or would like to join, I would also accept you into membership as well today. But first of all, let me introduce to you Mary Leoncelli and her brother, Mickey Smith. And here they come. Now, I don't know whether you're coming from another church or whether you're coming by profession of faith. Profession of faith. Have both of you been baptized? You've been baptized, and that's all I needed to know. I want everybody to turn to page 45 in your hymnals. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and the due administration of God's word and sacraments, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace which it alone supplies. If you would turn to page 46, I'm going to lead them through the profession of faith, which just asks a series of questions that they usually just answer, I do. Do you, in the presence of God in this congregation, Mary and Mickey, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Okay. Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? Therefore, may the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit, confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turning to page 48, I ask this question, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church as you find it here at Calvary United Methodist, and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care both Mary and Mickey, whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you respond? We rejoice to recognize you, members of Christ's Holy Church, and bid you welcome to this congregation of the Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Well, everybody, welcome Mickey and Mary. And now I ask the ushers to wait on us as we prepare to receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, today we realize the enormity of the gift you have given. But we also realize, dear God, that that means new life is for us. And that your blessing on Jesus didn't stop there, but through him, you and I might have eternal life. We pray, dear God, your blessing upon us as a church, as your people called to be in this time and place. May you use us and use the gifts we bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just in case they make mistakes, this shoots a laser beam.
Death ray. The Lord is risen today. He is risen indeed. Today we gather in celebration of our risen King. He is alive. In Him we stand redeemed, and we lift joyful shouts of praise to our conquering King.
Crowned in victorious risen Christ, He is the
We rejoice this Easter day because we serve a risen Savior. He who was raised from the dead and has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Through the power of his glorious resurrection, he offers us an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Today we rejoice as people of the risen King.
Shifting shadows of the earth, we will live.
With one heart and one voice, believers all across the world proclaim it from shore to shore. He is alive. He is our Savior, and we are His people. His grace is sufficient in all things. Christ is all we need. Through every joy and sorrow, every trial and victory, everything we need is found in Christ. He is more than enough.
Christ is enough for me.
Many prophecies and promises he would fulfill. To do so, he must go by way of the cross. Arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, following a night of such weight and intensity that he sweat great drops of blood as he prayed. He was mocked and beaten, denied and betrayed. He was despised and rejected, crowned with cruel thorns, nailed to the tree. Behold the man, alone and abandoned in his hour of death. Behold him, the blessed Christ, taking on the punishment for our sins. Behold him, man of sorrows, hanging on the cross, looking to the heavens, crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Lightning flashes, thunder rolls, skies blacken. Jesus utters the words, "It is finished."
Silent as he's
Rise up, O church of the living God, that all within us praise his holy name. Raise your voice in glad praises to the King of Kings. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. The first part is the resurrection
actually,
of Jesus.
Luke 24, 1 through 12. You said it was for the early service, not this service. Different scripture.
But on the first day of the week. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living around the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified on the third day, rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. These were the words of God for the people of God.
I imagine that if I counted them up, I've probably done, 500 funerals, something like that. Well, this one particular one, when I drove out to our local funeral home that afternoon, I found something different. I just officiated at the memorial service of a man, and they were not showing his body because he was going to be cremated. So the family stayed around after the service to view him one more time as they said their final goodbye. I asked if they wanted me to go with them, and they said yes. And so we made our way through the garage of our local funeral home into a room that I had never entered before. That mysterious place in every funeral home where the bodies of our loved ones are received and made presentable to us so that on the day of their burial, we can have a little bit better chance of remembering them as they once were. As we were making our way back out to funeral, the funeral director stopped me to ask if I would like to see another woman that I knew from the community who had just died a few days earlier, and I said, sure, I'll be happy to see her. Annie was in her 90s when she died, and I didn't know her well, but she was known in the community, and this was my chance to make my goodbyes to her. So I said yes to the funeral director, and he took me to the other side of the plastic curtain from the man that I just did the funeral for. And so she was already laid out in her casket wearing a beautiful turquoise jacket, and her hair was so nicely done. She looked as much like herself as one who has died can, in fact, look. The funeral director drew my attention to her hands, commenting that he had not yet had a chance to do them. And to be sure, they were not done yet. They were bruised and discolored, not at all like the hands of one who is alive. And I was also taken back in that moment to another time, another family, another bedside vigil, where the one they had loved had just died. And as we waited for hospice to come, they stayed gathered around the body, and they marveled to watch the hands of their loved ones change, to see life receding and disappearing from their loved one's body. Now, Annie's hands, I could see the suffering that had been hers to bear in the last days of her life. Her hands were surely not alive, but of course, the rest of her was not either. Funeral directors are often able to do wonders, but all of their padding and makeup only offers the illusion of life as we remember it. They do not, of course, actually bring back to life what moments before was dead. And so it is Easter, this day when the women made their way to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body, which had been buried in a rush of the Sabbath, which was bearing down upon them that Friday afternoon. So they had to hurry and put him in the tomb. So that morning when they came, they got inside and there was no plastic curtain to push aside. There was no stone to roll away, for the one on the other side had already made his way out. If we stand still within this, the story shared by the two men in dazzling clothes, this was utterly unbelievable. Of course, Jesus was dead. Why wouldn't they look for him there? For that was precisely where they had left him 3 days earlier. And indeed, by the time they left him there, life had left his hands, his feet, his face, his arms, his heart. It would have been as though we had stepped back to see Annie that Saturday and the curtain had already been pulled aside and her casket empty. We would have been confused and angry and no doubt every bit as terrified as those women were so long ago. It is still a wonder to me that those first witnesses to the resurrection were even able to repeat the words of those strangers. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. It is indeed a wondrous announcement that is ours to share again this Easter. For any of us, and I should say probably many of us, who have stared at the hands of a loved one and watched life leave them, we can imagine the amazement they must have felt as the women and Peter approached the empty tomb that first Easter morning. And I have to be honest and say that for me also, sometimes this wondrous truth that Jesus defeats even death is still sinking in. For all of the times that I have joined in the Easter Alleluias, it is still hard to comprehend that God does what is in no way humanly possible. And to realize that death no longer has the last word. For God really does bring life again. You know it, and I know it. The sort of life that not only has blood coursing through our hands and feet and hearts again, the sort of life which never again will leave its mark of suffering on us. Oh yes, that day will come when there will never again be a need to cover up the marks of death. Those lifeless, bruised, discolored hands of Annie or anyone else, for death will be no more. Amen and amen.
I'd like to take just a second to thank Mr. Bill Walker and Mr. Joel Packer for helping us out. We have our very own voice of God and Joel Packer on bass guitar. If you'd stand and turn to page 314 in your hymnals, we'll sing In the Garden.
Sunday with us. We hope we'll meet you again. We'd love to see you. I want to thank again Andy Haney, who is the director of our chancel choir and music ministry, for his time and effort and his goodwill in being involved in all of this. Thank you very much, Andy. And to George, who not only sang the solo so nicely this morning, but also accompanies things every time we're together. And our guest musician who's playing the bass up here, thank you very much. And Mr. Bill Walker, who does the voice of God, I mean the narrator. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.